This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Game-winning field goal in Nashville, Tennessee. The Illinois Fighting Illini, Matt, a game winner. They win 30-28. The game just sneaks under the total. You were hoping, if you had the over, that you would get a touchdown there from Illinois, but they played it right. They got a first down, made Tennessee use their timeouts, kick a short game-winning field goal, and the Illini, a short dog, gets the victory, but the market was on it, Matt. They bet Illinois down to 3, even some 2.5s out there. And, you know, steam so far this bowl season has not been one to follow all that often, but the steam was right on Illinois in this spot.
Yeah, it was. And the Illini did a nice job there. Brett Bielema with the clock management. They got converted a 4th and 1.
Got a big offsides on 3rd and 6.
Pulled the Vols offsides on a 3rd down there and were able to run the clock down and kick that with no time remaining. So, you know, that game deserved to stay under the total.
Yeah.
And it did. And if you bet the under, that's the side. Under and underdog were the right sides on that game. And that's what hits. We're about to kick off in San Antonio.
Yeah, it took a little first half under, Matt, in USC-TCU. We talked about the opt-outs. It is our VSiN primetime game of the night. The big one is Josh Hoover is out for TCU. That'll be Ken Seals, the former Vanderbilt quarterback. Mm-hmm. He will get the nod for the Horned Frogs. USC, they'll be without DeAnton Lynn, their defensive coordinator, as he is headed to Penn State. They're starting right guard. Two top wide receivers, Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane. Bishop Fitzgerald, Kamari Ramsey, both pairs of safeties. Kennedy Urlacher will get the start in the secondary. Anthony Lucas, edge, Eric Gentry also out. So a lot of opt-outs. But Jaden Maiava is still there, Matt, and he will get the start at quarterback here for USC.
Wow, how about this? Seen a report on Twitter tonight that Josh Hoover, the quarterback for TCU, you know where he's headed?
No.
Apparently he's headed to Indiana.
Really?
To be the replacement for Fernando Mendoza.
Is that a credible source out there on Twitter?
It seems like a decent source. I've actually heard that Sorsby from Cincinnati was in discussions with Indiana too, but apparently Josh Hoover might be the guy for the Hoosiers. I mean, at this point, Kurt Cignetti's got a lot of money behind him because he's winning at such a high level. And you and I were surprised last year when Fernando Mendoza went to Indiana because I thought, man, there's so many bigger programs out there with more money.
Yep.
Do you think could outbid Indiana for Mendoza? Cignetti got his guy.
And worked out quite well.
He got the Heisman. And now that you produced a Heisman winner, you're going to get pretty much any quarterback you want. And that'd be interesting if that's the case. Without Hoover tonight, I would lean under. I did not bet. I really thought about betting under the total in this game tonight. But the way that Illinois Tennessee game blew up in the second half, you do wonder, you know, how much defense is going to be played in some of these games too. So I'd go ahead and took a pass, and we'll see if maybe something pops up here where we're going to bet it live. But, man, I was close to betting this under the total of 56.5.
Yeah, a little play on the under, first half under for me. By the way, a game with spread implications coming down to the wire here as Milwaukee taking on Wisconsin, and we get a late bucket. It is 80-60. The point spread was 20.
It was 20 or 20.5, but you laid 20. Right?
I laid 20 with Wisconsin. The UW-Milwaukee Panthers had a game yesterday, and they were dealing with some injuries. We'll see if they get the walk-ons as he misses a wide-open layup.
Did he get fouled?
He got fouled.
Okay.
The walk-ons are in, Matt. 41 seconds to go. What could possibly go wrong here? Always fun coming down to the wire. You think the odds makers were on point with this one? 20.5 points.
Pretty good line. By the way, I want to tip of the cap to the Westgate Superbook odds makers last night. They put the number out on La Sierra and UNLV.
Did they really?
Yeah. In fact, we probably should have talked about it on last night's show because that's a very difficult game to put a number on. La Sierra is a NAIA program out of Riverside, California. It's basically a high school team. UNLV hosted La Sierra last night. Sean McCollum, one of our producers, was at the game. He said there was a few hundred fans in the arena. Under the radar, didn't see a number on the screen anywhere. Westgate put up a number of 41.5. And UNLV won the game by 42.
By the way, this is going to land 20. So I'm glad that I got the 20 and not the 20.5.
You got the push.
As the walk-on from Italy missed both free throws, and Wisconsin will win 80-60.
He missed them both.
Yeah. So that are, there you go, your final score there. About to have kickoff in, what we think could be an entertaining game, USC and TCU. TCU, outside of their quarterback, which is a pretty significant loss there, but outside of their quarterback, relatively intact from a roster standpoint. USC has got a lot of other pieces missing, but their quarterback is going to play in this game, Matt.
Yeah, it's but the Jade Maiava, the transfer from UNLV, now his second year at USC, he's going to play tonight, but his top two wide receivers are out. And you got several key players out offensively for both sides tonight. That's why I lean under 56.5, but again, I didn't play it. You did play the first half under what number?
28.
Also want to give a shout-out to Andy Miranda, USC's season ticket holder. Andy said the weather report for Pasadena is being exaggerated.
Really?
For the Rose Bowl, that there's not going to be the heavy rain that a lot of people are talking about. So if that's part of your handicap, you might want to keep this in mind. Andy says, local news now saying about a half an inch of rain. Nothing like last week when it was a deluge in Southern California. Half an inch of rain, not going to be much. I don't think the field's going to be in bad shape. By the way, that Rose Bowl field drains pretty well. And that probably should not be a big focus of your handicap if you're thinking about playing the total or whatever, because you're hearing about, heavy rain, which apparently is not going to be the case.
Great insight there from Andy on that one. Going to come down to the wire here, or not down to the wire. The game is wrapping up, I should say. North Carolina is going to get the – oh, buddy, that was a late three there from Florida State. There was a 13.5 out there in the market at DraftKings. Hopefully you didn't get the worst of the number. North Carolina, as a 12.5-point favorite, will win by 13 over Florida State, 79-66. Late push from the UNC Tar Heels. Bit of a sloppy start here for UNC, but they will get the cover on most of the numbers out there.
Still not quite sure what to make of North Carolina. 13-1 team that looks pretty good, but I've seen a couple of sloppy performances, and tonight's game was not all that impressive from the Tar Heels either. This is a pretty bad Florida State team.
Just a reminder, this hour being brought to you by our friends over at Omaha Steaks. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of this hour. Right now, you'll score 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSIN for more information. A third down conversion there for the Trojans to keep their opening drive alive. Matt, how about Nebraska? Their football team will be in town tomorrow. They're a 14-point underdog to Utah. Their basketball program, the mayor, Freddie Hoiberg, has got his squad 12-0 and ranked 13th in the nation.
Very impressive. Hoiberg's doing a great, hell of a job, actually, with this Nebraska basketball team. And, we talked about that game, three weeks ago? Nebraska was a one-point home dog or one-point home favorite to Wisconsin and won by 30.
Smashed them, yeah.
I think at that point, the secret got out on the Cornhuskers, and this team's legit. Then Cornhuskers went to Champaign as a 10-point dog to Illinois and won the game outright. So this Nebraska team is for real. And I'll say this about Big Ten basketball. There's like 8 really good teams in the Big Ten this season. And I would say 14 or 15 quality teams in that conference. That conference is going to be a death march, even for the top teams at the top.
Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois. Nebraska, Illinois. We'll see what Iowa is. We both love their coach.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly an interesting team.
Don't forget UCLA. That's still a pretty good
team. UCLA off to a 10-3
USC's
start.
USC's not bad.
Yeah, so it's you're right. I think that is a fair way to put it. There's going to be some teams down on the bottom, no doubt. Penn State doesn't look like Buzz Williams is going to have much going in year number one there at Maryland. But
Rutgers are not too strong.
No.
I would say 15.
Oregon's pretty down.
But Oregon still has had some injuries, and Dana Altman's a hell of a coach. I'd say 15 of the 18 teams look pretty good to me.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be a beast of a conference there. So we will keep our eyes on that. By the way, Notre Dame and Stanford, your classic ACC battle going on right now.
The problem here is, as you know, Tim, the Irish, Fighting Irish, are without a key player.
Marcus Burton. Going to be out for quite some time here. That's a huge blow for the Irish. She was off to a really strong start to the season there, so we will see. And last time out, we saw before Christmas, the team that just lost to Milwaukee by 22, IPFW, beat Notre Dame. So it's going to be could be a tough season there again.
Well, that ruined Micah Shrewsbury's Christmas.
I don't think he was too thrilled about it.
Notre Dame had a couple of pretty good wins, too, before that loss. Anyway, USC's got a punt on its opening possession, and TCU takes over deep in its own territory. So the live total in this game, Tim, just dips a little bit to 52.5 after that empty possession for USC.
And TCU plus 110 on the money line, so a little bit of movement there towards the TCU Horned Frogs in that contest. So our game of the night is underway, and we'll continue our preview of the college football playoff. We got a bunch of bowl games tomorrow as well we will dive into. So a bunch to get into as we continue rolling along here on VSiN Primetime. We will get the latest on Texas Tech coming up bottom of the hour. Ryan Hyatt will give us the insight on the Red Raiders as they take on the Oregon Ducks in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looks like we have another punt down in San Antonio as the opening drive for the TCU Horned Frogs. Nets some 8 yards, but short of the first, and they will be punting the ball back to the USC Trojans. So 11 minutes to go, first quarter. Two empty possessions to start the opening half here. USC and TCU both with plenty of opt-outs. Actually, not a ton of opt-outs for TCU, but a very important one with Hoover out. Good punt, though, as Jaden Maiava will bring the USC offense back out at the 26-yard line. And they just put up a graphic here of the notable opt-outs in this game. Back end of USC secondary, Kamari Ramsey and Bishop Fitzgerald, Jacoby Lane, Mekhi Leonard. But Josh Hoover, who may be headed to Indiana, we'll see as the portal opens up officially in a couple of days where he ultimately lands, Matt.
Well, if you bet this total under 56.5 pregame, the total is now 51.5 at minus 110 if you wanted to play it over. I mean, that would give you some sort of middle opportunity if you just said, hey, I want to get off the original bet and get myself a chance here to hit the middle. Ideally, you would like to get that under 51.5. So you'd probably wait, play. If you played under 56.5 pregame, you'd like to play over, you know, around 50, over 49.5 to give yourself a little bit of better middle shot here. But USC completes a pass out near midfield on first down. So Jaden Maiava connects here. But he's missing two wide receivers tonight.
Yep.
That are legit NFL talents. And that's why I thought playing under 56.5 might be the play here, because those guys are explosive playmakers. And Maiava, one thing about USC, though, you got depth at the wide receiver spot. The backups are probably still pretty good. And we'll see tonight how good they are.
We even saw with their running backs.
Well, you mentioned Zachariah Branch at Georgia. He left USC and went to Georgia. They were loaded at the receiver position.
Yeah, and you talk about the running back position. They dealt with injuries, and King Miller stepped in. The game you were in attendance at it against Michigan, mm-hmm. he was an absolute stud in that game. So just like that, USC now into TCU territory at the 40-yard line. So we will see Lincoln Riley's offense and if they're able to get points, and King Miller slicing his way into the 30-yard line. So a good second drive here by USC.
Speaking of USC, when do the Trojans play Notre Dame next?
They do not. There is no game scheduled, Matt.
What happened?
They could not come to terms on a deal, Matt.
Is that Notre Dame's fault?
According to people in Southern California, it is.
I thought the Irish said we would play you anytime, anywhere.
USC said, okay, play us in week zero. That is what the reports are.
Where was it going to be?
I believe it would have been in Southern California. They did not want to play them late in the season. Felt like it was an
so the proposal game. Was week zero, and then Notre Dame's got a game, I think, week one at Wisconsin, right?
In Lambeau.
It's in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But they're playing the Badgers in Lambeau Field in week one, so it would have been a USC-Wisconsin to open the season.
Yep.
I can understand why Notre Dame didn't want to do that.
There's also been the gentleman who...
Well, you can't say we're going to play you anytime, anywhere, and then say, well, okay, not anytime.
Well, and then also the report came out that they didn't want to play Notre Dame because of the memo of understanding regarding the college football playoff. They've been talking about this for a year and a half. Lincoln Riley's been complaining about it left and right. But I will say, in Lincoln Riley's defense, in the clip we're going to play, he is right. Notre Dame did say anytime, anywhere, and he kind of stuck that right back into their mouths there, even though, let's be honest, USC wanted nothing to do with Notre Dame, and Petro Papadakis, who played for USC, agrees with that. But let's hear from Lincoln Riley.
It's pretty simple. You know, we've both worked for months to try to find a solution. Notre Dame was very vocal about the fact that they would play us anytime, anywhere. And obviously them not having a conference affiliation gives them an ability to be pretty flexible with their scheduling. We went back, Jen Cohen, our AD, went back to Notre Dame roughly a couple of weeks ago with a scenario and a proposal that would extend the series for the next 2 years. And we took Notre Dame at their word that they would play us anytime, anywhere. That proposal was rejected. Not only was it rejected, 5 minutes after we got the call, it was announced that they had scheduled another opponent, which I'll give them credit. That might be the fastest scheduling act in college football history.
I'll read you a tweet from former USC. Was he a linebacker, Petros, at USC?
It might have been a fullback, linebacker, I don't know.
He retweeted that clip that we played and said, this is pathetic.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame did say anytime, anywhere.
True.
And they weren't willing to play anytime. What's interesting,
USC... I agree. I think they're both at fault.
USC was trying to duck out of the series. There's no question about that, but... I was talking with Derek Stevens about this a couple months ago, and I know he had contacted, while we were talking about somebody at the LVCVA about, is there a chance USC Notre Dame could be in Vegas?
Yeah, there were reports about that.
There were some talks about that as well. It seems if you don't want to play a true road game in week zero, how about playing in Vegas? I think that would have made a lot of sense for USC and Notre Dame. I'm not sure how seriously that was discussed between the two schools, but that would have been a good idea.
Look, I think Notre Dame messed up in the saying anytime, anywhere, but it has been clear that USC does not want to play. Lincoln Riley, that guy right there who has done absolutely nothing at USC since taking over as the head coach.
Yeah, he went 9-3 this year.
Yeah, that's what they want. Huh? That's what they want, right?
Well, it was actually a pretty solid season.
This year was actually better than anticipated.
Lost the road game at Illinois. Got screwed by the officials on a touchdown. They got called back. I thought they got a raw deal in that game in Champaign. Actually, you had the Irish kind of on the ropes in South Bend. And screwed up a couple of big plays in the second half there.
That guy right there decided to take the ball out of his quarterback's hands in a rainy night.
I had a big bet on Notre Dame money line in that game, and I was sweating it in the second half. There's no question about that. But Lincoln Riley screwed up that game. And then the road loss at Oregon is understandable. Indiana was the only team to beat the Ducks this season. But 9-3 was a pretty good year.
I'll say this. USC. If you're USC, just say you don't want to play a non-conference game against Notre Dame when you have a schedule with Indiana and Penn State and Ohio State and Oregon on it and Wisconsin. Like, it's a tough schedule next year. I'm not denying that. And you can make an argument that right now Notre Dame needs USC more than USC needs Notre Dame. I think that's more than fair.
Well, that's why Notre Dame went out and got BYU.
And actually, I think
you got to have a few quality opponents on the schedule. So BYU was the fill, right, for USC.
And they're going to go to Provo next year. I think that'll be a really good test for Notre Dame.
That is a good one.
So
that game would have made a lot of sense for Vegas, too.
Yeah,
Notre Dame, BYU, and Las Vegas.
Here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, look, we'll see. I think Lincoln Riley's full of crap.
Hey, look, it's proven here with the College Football Playoff Committee clowns that you don't have to play the most difficult schedule to get into the playoff field, Tim. So why should USC stack its schedule with a bunch of tough opponents and go 9-3 or 8-4 and have no shot to make the playoffs?
But they also know they know the backlash that is coming from their alumni.
Oh, of course.
The only alum that is actually kind of on their side is Matt Leiner. Carson Palmer has come out, Keyshawn Johnson, all of the Petros. All these people are calling out Lincoln. He's not a USC guy, calling out the AD. But the fact of the matter is, USC's schedule next year is brutal.
I know. So, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for USC to play Notre Dame next season.
Just say what it is, you know.
I see that part of the argument from Lincoln Riley. But, hey, look at what Kurt Cignetti has scheduled in the non-conference for Indiana. It's a joke.
Of course. And it doesn't really matter.
I know.
And they're damn good football team.
You don't get penalized for it.
By the way, speaking of USC, they are on the field right now. And they did end with a field goal on their last possession. So 3-0 is the score. 7 minutes to go in the opening quarter between USC and TCU.
Bobby Brubeck, professional bettor out of Austin, Texas. Buckets Brubeck says he loves to live bet these games. He says USC minus what is that number right now?
It's 5.5. Oh, no, hold on. Let me update. Went off the board 5.5.
Yeah, he said USC minus 6 live is good. That was right before the field goal attempt, though.
Yeah.
So Buckets
haven't seen much from TCU's offense yet with Ken Seals at the quarterback position. So we will see how this one ultimately plays out. I did take a little pregame under 28 in the first half, and we will see if that comes to fruition. But I wouldn't disagree from the couple possessions we've seen here. USC defensively, even without a couple of stalwarts out there, has looked pretty strong here against this TCU defense, albeit just a handful of plays. Hey, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you could score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VS. IN. Don't wait. Spend $129 to get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. That's OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. We head down to Lubbock, Texas and get the inside scoop on the Texas Tech Red Raiders before they play Oregon.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Another punt for TCU. Gives the ball back to the USC Trojans. Live number out to 6.5. Total down to 48.5. 3-0, 5:23 to go. First quarter, TCU and USC, the Alamo Bowl, which is taking place in San Antonio. Matt, how far is San Antonio from Lubbock?
Well, if you fly, Tim, it's probably about a little over an hour. If you drive, I'm going to guess, that's probably a 3.5-hour drive. Let's ask Ryan Hyatt, though.
All right, let's head to our progressive guest line, a gentleman who probably knows the answer to that question. Ryan Hyatt, our good friend down there in Lubbock. How far is San Antone from Lubbock, Ryan?
And, what you're willing to pay, anywhere from about 4.5 to 5.5 to 6 hours. If you want to eat Mexican food, 7 hours.
Nice.
Ryan, so excited for New Year's Day. Our colleague Stormy will be on the sidelines for that Orange Bowl. Let's start with the Texas Tech defense versus the Oregon offense. David Bailey has been an absolute menace, 13.5 sacks on the year. Jacob Rodriguez is an absolute stud at the linebacker position. How much pressure do you anticipate Texas Tech getting on this Oregon front?
I think that's really the decisive argument in this case, if you want to put it in front of a jury. How good can this Texas Tech defense be against a very good offensive line for Oregon? This Texas Tech defense has generated pressure and controlled the line of scrimmage all year long, usually with just a base four-man front, five if you want to walk up a linebacker. If they can do that against this Oregon team, and they did that against a very good Utah front earlier this year, they've done it against BYU. If they can do that, that makes that secondary that much better. It's like playing with an extra guy in the backfield. So I think that's really what we're looking at on this thing is, can they generate pressure without having to blitz, without having to go to a, you know, five or a six-man front? If they do that, then that's what Texas Tech does well. If Oregon can, you know, negate that, if they can force Texas Tech to bring more pressure, then I think that makes Dante Moore that much more effective. He's got more, fewer guys to account for back there in the secondary. He'll be better that way. That's the game right there. I don't even know why we have to continue talking. That's it.
All right, that's it. Ryan, thanks for joining
us
tonight.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Thanks. Let's watch TCU.
Ryan Hyatt, Lubbock, Texas, radio podcast host with us. When you're not decorating your office with Christmas lights, I know you're often in the film room breaking down tape like John Gruden. What do you learn from Texas Tech's loss at Arizona State, or maybe Oregon's loss at home to Indiana?
I think when you look at two teams that are this evenly matched, that's what you look at. What happened when they didn't win? So let's look at Texas Tech. Obviously, Baron Morton was hurt. You went to Will Hammond. Mack Leftwich, great offense coordinator, Texas Tech, young guy. He went totally brain dead stupid. He didn't run the ball. He ran it not with his running backs and Cam Dickey. He ran it with his quarterback, and it was horrible. The time of possession was huge in favor of Arizona State that day. Massive number. 37-22. When Texas Tech took the lead late in that game, the defense was gassed. They didn't have anything left. Texas Tech has to run the ball. They've got to be smart. They cannot have something like that play again. So that was the biggest thing, I think, in that game. In the loss, when we look at Oregon, we look at third down. They were not good. 3-14. Now, it's an explosive offense in Oregon, and you go, okay, well, maybe they score earlier. Well, they didn't score earlier. They got third down. They couldn't do it. And we look at the rush numbers for Oregon in that loss. 30 rushes, 81 yards. Dante Moore didn't matter running the football. He could only throw it for 186. If you can't run the football against Texas Tech, that puts you behind the chains. That makes life hard. So both of these teams, and you look back on the losses, there are things they've got to avoid. They can't have the defense on the field all the time if you're Texas Tech. And if you're Oregon, good grief, you've got to be able to run the ball somewhat against Tech, or that defense is going to tee off on second down and long, third down and long, and make life miserable. And I think those are the two things that I look at this game and coming up here in 48 hours or whatever we're at, those are some numbers I want to watch on this thing.
Ryan Hyatt, follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media, joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You know, so much is made, rightfully so, of the Texas Tech front. David Bailey, I mentioned, Jacob Rodriguez. Have they faced a core of wide receivers, seeing the health that is returning for Oregon with DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant, both back, limited roles against James Madison? Have they faced wide receivers like the ones they're going to face on New Year's Day?
100% no, they have not. And if you go back and you look at the success that Arizona State had with Sam Levitt when he was healthy, the best throwing quarterback you had, I think, in the Big 12 when he was healthy, the success they had was throwing it downfield deep, going over that defense, getting it downfield. And some of the best plays that teams have had against Texas Tech have been throwing deep and hoping for a DPI. And I know that sounds like Aaron Rodgers, you know, on third down and long, but it works. And if I were Oregon, that would be my trek early on in this game, is test the secondary downfield. Maybe don't, you know, try to run it first and second down. Go deep. See if, you know, Polak and some of those defensive players cannot jump those routes and get that. So if I were Oregon, I would use those receivers. I would try to get Texas Tech in some man coverage and see what happens downfield. Because Texas Tech has had DPIs at different times this year. That's been the biggest thing. It has moved the chains for the other team.
Ryan, how do you envision this game playing out then? If you work on a game script here, Oregon, 2.5-point favorite, total of 51.5. How would you play it?
I think the total is right. I think we're going to dance on that edge all the way around. I look at this and I look at Texas Tech and I go, okay, how do they give up points? Well, they gave up points in the Big 12 title game to BYU with a first drive, a long drive, scripted drive. All right, there's one. So I think you give up points on a scripted drive if Oregon can do that. Now, Oregon only scored 4 times in Big Ten play on their first drive of the game. Once they got into good teams, they really didn't score on their first drive. So that didn't bode well for them. But I would think if you could have a scripted drive, if you're Oregon, if you could have a short field, a turnover, and then if you could have a busted play, the way Kansas State scored against Texas Tech with an Avery Johnson 51-yard run in that game was a busted play. That's 3 touchdowns. You get a field goal. There you go, 24 points. I think Texas Tech is good for with Baron Morton healthy. He's coming off this knee injury, fractured tibia. He's as healthy as he's going to be. As good as this offense is going to be, I think there's about 24 points in there. This is a field goal game. I've got it 27-24 Texas Tech. I totally respect the people that are on the other side saying 27-24 Oregon, but I think that's where this thing lands. I've got it 27-24 Tech.
Look at that, right on the total. Way under the total, Tim. Total of 51.5.
That's a big edge.
I like that.
I think you got to take the under on that edge.
51 is a key number in totals. Ryan Hyatt's got Texas Tech winning 27-24. Great breakdown from all aspects of that game. And again, early kickoff in Miami for the Orange Bowl, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Oregon and Texas Tech. Ryan, more importantly, what's the number one steakhouse in Lubbock right now?
The number one steakhouse in Lubbock is Brian's Steakhouse. It's off the interstate on 50th Street. It's been there forever. It damn near burned down a couple of years ago. They rebuilt it. You couldn't kill it. It's the greatest $9 steak you're really? Ever going to eat in your life.
All right. When we catch a Southwest Airlines flight to Lubbock, we'll have to visit Brian's Steakhouse. Hey, you like the Miami Hurricanes catching the points, 9.5 or 10 if you can get it, against Ohio State, right?
I just loved everything that I saw about them down at Kyle Field. You guys know how hard that environment is to walk in there, handle that. The wind was bad. They gave away at least 9 points, maybe more on special teams. I don't think that'll happen again. I really like them straight up or even taking the points. I like where they are.
Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media. Should be a fun one on New Year's Day. Always appreciate the insight. Great stuff, Ryan. There he is, Ryan Hyatt.
So remember that when it happens, if he calls the shot, Texas Tech 27-24. That's his prediction.
That's what he's looking at. By the way, TCU, after an interception from Jaden Maiava on the march, they are inside the USC red zone. Hey, Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, they'll be turning it all the way up. Ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st all night long. 6 live concerts on 3 stages, including Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy, plus a massive countdown and light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. 1 ticket, 1 night, just $60. Starts at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets at VegasExperience.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
whole lot of red here at the Circa Sportsbook. Nebraska fans, some Utah fans, but mostly Nebraska fans cheering on the Cornhuskers as they are struggling a little bit right now against New Hampshire. Matt, you pointed out last night some of these spots, teams are going to be a little sleepy.
The focus is not going to be there. You're right. Sleepy spots. You're going to overlook some of these lightweight opponents, and that's what's happening right now with Nebraska. That might, Tim, set up a good second half bet on the Cornhuskers tonight.
Right now, Nebraska, by the way, they went off as – let me double-check the number. I think they were – say, oh, they're in the extra games. Went off 18.5. Actually, it's a little shorter than I thought it was going to be against New Hampshire. So that one, 37-32 right now, is some folks maybe a little taking the points with. Oh, all right. We got a touchdown up in the Alamo Bowl as a interception is turned into a touchdown for TCU, Matt. 6-3 is the score.
Points off turnovers. TCU capitalizes on that Jaden Maiva interception. And I would say the TCU quarterback situation is okay. He's got some mobility. He has not really displayed if he's a strong downfield passer yet. But it's not bad, Tim. It's I'm glad I did not make a live bet on USC before that pick that Maiva threw. And obviously now I think if you still like USC, you're going to get the Trojans at a bit of a bargain price here.
Yeah, so I think let's talk about it as TCU kicks an extra point. TCU's now flipped to a favorite. I actually didn't disagree with Bobby Brubeck as he texted you saying he thought it was USC was the right side. You get a bad interception.
Boy, that was a poor throw by Maiva, too.
I mean, and he'll do that, Matt. Yeah. That's certainly what he does. But I don't think USC is a bad look live in game right now. Now, the worry is
SC plus 1.5 is a live number, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad look.
No, I don't either. Is it a good one though?
I have first half under, and that touchdown. I would have much preferred a field goal there because then we needed four touchdowns essentially to beat us. Now it's eight. It's sitting there at 10, still in decent shape, but would have preferred not a touchdown there. 13.5 minutes to go. USC does go fast. I think the question ultimately is the depth of USC with all the pieces missing, starting safeties, starting wide receivers, a couple other pieces, one on the offensive line, is that going to be the undoing? Or is this a spot where USC, who closed at around a 4.5-point favorite, throws one interception, gives up a touchdown? Maybe this is the spot to look at them in game.
I think it could be the spot to play USC here, plus 1.5. I'm debating whether or not I want to bet this.
Do you want to be agitated the rest of the night?
Not really. Not really.
Taking a look at...
I think, though, that is... I was leaning TCU pregame. And that's the problem is I don't really want to jump on USC right now because I thought the Trojans would be – that line was a little bit inflated considering who was sitting out on the USC side tonight. So I'm not crazy about it, but I kind of lean USC plus 1.5 here.
What about the total, Matt? This thing has come down.
I should have bet that under 56.5 pregame. That's the bet I regret not making. Very close to playing it under the total and chickened out there. But that, I think that was the better bet pregame was under because these offenses are not going to be going up and down the field tonight.
Well, hopefully they don't go up and down the field the rest of the half, and then if they want to decide to go up and down, they can do it in the second half. So we will see how that ultimately plays out. Matt, I did want to pick your brain a little bit. We still have some games still to come.
How about this? New Hampshire Wildcats with a 3. Nebraska, ranked 13th, up 39-38 in the final minute of the first half. Look at that logo for New Hampshire. That mascot, that's a fierce-looking Wildcat. They showed up for a fight tonight.
Nathan Davis, the former Bucknell head coach, now head coach there at New Hampshire. It is, it's been a rough go in his first couple of seasons there up there in New England. But a strong here. But as we have this game on, Matt, is this a possibility to look at Nebraska? How low does it go for us to look at it from a live number on Nebraska?
A lot of times you'll see a game like this, Tim, where the underdog hangs tough in the first half and puts a big scare or maybe a wake-up call, we should say, into the favorite. And you'll see Nebraska going a big run in the second half and blow this game open. So I think that's something you should probably look for here.
Well, this, okay, so I want to say something. I misspoke earlier because I looked at that Nebraska-New Hampshire line. I'm like, 18 and a half? What the heck? That seems way low. I had the first half
tapped. I was going to say probably more like 30.
31 and a half. Okay. So the live number is 15 and a half. So that makes a lot more sense because I did not understand how New Hampshire, who was like 320 in KenPom, would be only a 18-point favorite. That's because I'm a dope and I had the wrong button clicked. And they are a 31-and-a-half-point favorite pregame, Nebraska was. So, yeah, we'll see. Is this a spot to maybe look towards the Mayor's squad second half as the closing seconds wind off here? I am curious, man. I'm going to look it up. First half money line on New Hampshire was 40-1 at DraftKings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a one-point game, and I think New Hampshire might have the ball coming out of this tie-up situation.
Wow.
4-8 Wildcats, by the way. 12-0 Cornhuskers. And we have several Nebraska fans in the sportsbook behind us here at Circa because they're in town for the bowl game tomorrow.
Yep, they're sitting there. They've got the Creighton game side-by-side of the Nebraska game. Now, I don't know if every... And you can see it's not a packed house, but the middle portion of the sports book, for those of you watching us, there's a lot of red. Former producer of this program, Britton Hess, is a Nebraska alum, and I think he might have hated Creighton more than he liked Nebraska.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know if he was a minority in that or if they're...
How can you hate Creighton that much? Creighton's never won anything big. They don't, like, rub it in your face, all the success they have, right?
Maybe they talk about Doug McDermott nonstop, Matt. They can't stop talking about Dougie McBuckets and Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Hates Creighton that much?
Maybe that's a little bit of a over exaggeration that he hates him more than he likes Nebraska. But he definitely didn't like Creighton. Matt, we do have a Mountain West game late night tonight.
Do you hate Omaha too?
No, the Mavericks?
Yeah.
New Mexico at Boise State tonight, Matt. Did you look at this game at all?
I looked at it. I don't see an edge here for playing it tonight, and I had to pass on it. That's typically a game. That's actually a Mountain West game I bet almost every year in the last 10 years. But tonight, I just don't know what to make of these two teams right now. A lot of teams in the Mountain West in basketball have been very inconsistent so far. You don't know. Like, I bet Nevada as a home dog against Boise last week, and Nevada got the outright win. And that was with Nevada's two of their top players out that night. So I don't know if this Boise team's any good or not. I kind of say the same thing about the Lobos. I would probably lean Lobos tonight, but I don't really want to be on the record with that because I don't have an opinion.
Yeah, a handful of conference games later on tonight out on the West Coast, so some late-night hoops. Quick update from the Alamo Bowl and USC on the march here. And some poor tackling from TCU, and I think I'm going to have to sweat out this first half under. The way these teams are starting to move the ball is starting to make this game feel a little bit like this thing could start to get a little bit high-flying here as USC is driving down inside the 35-yard line of TCU.
So New Year's Eve on the Fremont Street Experience.
Yep.
There were three bands you talked about, or singers or bands. Robin Thicke was one. I know you're a longtime fan of Robin Thicke, right?
Oh, yeah.
CeeLo Green.
Blurred Lines.
CeeLo Green.
Chingy.
And Chingy. I was going to ask.
You're a huge Chingy guy.
I have no idea who Chingy is. The other two I've obviously heard of. Who is Chingy?
By the way, a wide open USC receiver at the 1 yard line, and maybe we should have taken that USC live number because they are about to score a touchdown here. I don't see many stops coming from TCU. I think I'm going to really have to sweat out this first half under.
All right, while you're getting nervous over there, is Chingy one person or is that a band?
He's a rapper.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Right There came out about 20 years ago. It's a big song I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember this. I didn't know that was Chingy.
Well, you go see him on Fremont Street, Matt, and on New Year's Eve. Hey, football meets flavor while Matt thinks about his New Year's Eve festivities. In
this
USC.
Is a great place to be on New Year's Eve downtown, though. Yeah,
you could eat some chicken wings, too. How about that?
I love these chicken wings from Omaha Steaks. I had them 2 weeks ago. They are legit. Not just hyping it up because we're a sponsor. These wings are outstanding.
You could score 2 pounds of the fully cooked chicken wings when you spend $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide when you shop at omahasteaks.com/vsin. Enjoy legendary steaks, juicy air-chilled chicken, beefy burgers, deli-style franks, and amazing appetizers perfect for bowl season, playoff football, or any game day gathering. Don't wait now. Spend $129, get 2 free pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, and save 50% off site-wide on steaks. OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN.